All right, good morning. I'm going to put my uh, 20 minutes. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to lead us and to guide us into all truth and really confirm truth when we hear it. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and do that this morning. I pray that if we hear truth that is really from you, that it would that you would resonate it in our hearts and minds in such a way that it would not just be data, but it would become life to us and something we could actually activate. In Jesus' name. This is the Joy Sunday in our Advent season, and so they're really four things I want to communicate to you today. I want to talk to you about joy that was promised in the scriptures. I want to talk about joy that is pregnant and birthed, both in the life of Christ at Christmas, but also in our own lives. I want to talk about joy that's already, but also joy that's yet to come. Because we live in this kingdom tension, joy is fully realized, and yet it's still to be realized. We live in this time of mixture, and I want to talk about that. The greatest Christmas gift that God ever gave us, the greatest Christmas gift or treat that he is actually something called euangelion. Now, that is not just like a jelly treat. For some of you, you might know that, obviously, the New Testament characters, they actually didn't speak Greek. They spoke Aramaic and other languages, but it was translated into Greek. And this thing called the good news, the Greek word is actually euangelion. And it literally means the good news, or actually the joy news. That's the literal translation of euangelion. And it's the greatest thing that God has ever designed for us to participate or eat. And it's a meal, ultimately. It's an expression of God's kingdom come, his power, his love, that's prepared for us to taste and eat. That's the gift that God prepares. It's this thing called the joy news. That's literally what the gospel means. And I want to read to you a couple of scriptures from the Old Testament that talks about this joy news as it's promised in the Old Testament for people like us to receive. In Isaiah 9, 2 and 3 and 6 and 7, it says this: the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice. They will joy again. That's what rejoice means. They will joy again. They will rejoice. They will joy again before you as a people rejoices at the harvest. For a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. And I love the way this finishes. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. There was a promise to Israel in the Old Testament that they would rejoice, that they would have a time of rejoicing, of joy again. And this is the promise in which the Advent season, this idea of the Advent, the coming, the preparation of Christ comes into this promise that God has given to the nation of Israel and given to us, that we will have a time of rejoicing again. We will rediscover our joy. In this case, they would rediscover their joy in the person of the Christ child. That's where they would find this joy of heaven found. It was also promised by the angels in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. It says this: and at the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the whole Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of the king of David, remember the promise would come through David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea and David's ancient home. He traveled there from a village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. Think about that, obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for a baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And that night, there were shepherds staying in fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news. I bring you euangelion. I bring you this joy news that will bring great joy to all people. I will bring you joy news that will bring joy." The purpose of the incarnation of God coming in Christ is wrapped in this thing to bring joy. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. This is the direct promise fulfilled of what Isaiah was talking about, that through this Davidic line, through David's line, would come this opportunity for a new time of joy. And the angels announced this. They will bring good news, this euangelion, that will bring you great joy. The purpose of his birth was to bring great joy. And for many of us, we still have not received that purpose in our lives. We still have not seen this incarnation, this birth of joy. The Christians, those who are Christ followers, those who have come to Christ, ought to have an overwhelming joy that permeates our lives. Not a feeling, not an emotion, but a state of being that is transformational. This joy became pregnant and birthed at this time in history. This joy news, this euangelion birthed in the person of Christ into the mess of this world, into my mess, into your mess, into your catastrophes, into all of your disappointments, into all of your frustration, into all of your wounding. This is where Christ is born. He's birthed into the barn of poverty and poop in your life. I'd say it another way, but I might get myself in trouble. That's the truth of the incarnation. Birthed into my barn of poverty and poop, birthed into your barn of poverty and poop. Into all this comes the euangelion, the joy news of God. And the angels say to us, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today. The announcement of joy is wrapped up in what this child would become. The Savior, the Messiah, is all about that which time will lead to his death. That's where the gospel's joy news is. And today, the third Sunday of Advent, we celebrate this Advent, the coming of this joy. Again, not a feeling, but as a sign of God's favor. Now, in the Greek language, when those who translated that word that was used, joy actually comes from the Greek word that is chara. And it literally means the favorable lean towards something. So do I. Listen to this again. The favorable lean towards. This joy of Christmas is God's favorable lean towards you. Think about that. When you lean into somebody like this, and you give them a hug, that is what this joy news is all about. God's joy is his favorable lean towards you. Some of you believe that God is leaning away from you, that God is repulsed by you. God's favorable lean towards you. That is what this joy news is all about. This joy child, this joy news is God's favorable lean towards you in the person of Christ. Think about that. Just take 30 seconds and envision God leaning toward you. God is not repulsed by your poop in your stable. He embraces it. He leans into it. He leans towards it. And most often, this joy news is expressed through you to others. People experience the favorable lean of God towards them in the favorable lean of a person towards them. When we minister like we are downstairs, it is the favorable lean of God towards people. That's what that is. When you are encountered by somebody who receives you in a moment of your difficulty or your sin, and they don't reject you, they embrace you, that is the favorable lean of Christ into your life. That is the gospel. That's the joy news. And God wants you, I think, this morning to recognize that He is leaning into you. He is not leaning away from you. And you don't need to get rid of the shit in the stable. Just seemed appropriate there. Because in this world, you will have difficulty. That's what the Bible says. You will have poop in your stable. You will have messes in your stable. You'll have stinky straw in your stable. Years ago, when we first got married, we lived on a farm. And I never grew up on a farm. And so I thought it would be super nice to have real hay in our house for our first Christmas. So I went to the barn where they kept the pigs and stuff. And I got some hay and I brought it in and I created a wonderful manger scene for my new wife, Pam. I have problem smelling. I can't smell really well, so it was wonderful to me. Pam opened the door of the house and said, "What is the stench in this house?" I said, "It's the manger scene I made for you, honey." And she said, "That smells terrible." That's the gospel. It smells terrible, and God leans into it. That is the joy news. Joy is promised, joy is birthed, but joy is also already and yet to come. John 16:19-22 says this, Jesus talking to his disciples as he's going to embrace becoming the Messiah and the Savior. He says this, "In a little while you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that you will see me again. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to me, but the world will rejoice." That'll be a time of rejoicing for the world. When the Savior is crucified, the world will rejoice. The devil will rejoice. You will grieve, and your grief will suddenly turn into a wonderful joy. It'll be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought forth a new baby in the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and you will rejoice. You will joy again, and no one, listen to this, no one can rob you of that joy. That's the euangelion of God. We live in a time right now where your joy is muted. And if you expect your joy to be full volume in this life, you will be disappointed. We live in an age of muted joy, but there is a day coming where your joy will be so full and no one will rob you of that joy. That is the good news. That is the joy news of God. The joy news of God isn't just that heaven has come to earth now and we get the whole meal. The joy news is in this life we have trouble, we have difficulty, but God leans towards us. He doesn't abandon us. That's the joy. But joy is coming, yet to be seen, that you cannot ask, you cannot imagine, you cannot even picture. But when it comes, it'll never, ever, ever be taken away from you. Like birth, that joy cannot be stopped. It is the natural outcome of the impartation of life. The natural outcome when a woman is pregnant is birth. And unless it's intervened in some unnatural way, that child will come forth. The natural outcome of that pregnancy is joy. Some of you, the devil has convinced you that you will never birth that joy. That your life will never birth that joy. It will. Because it's the natural outcome. Now we have mixture. Grief and joy commingle together. One day we'll receive a full meal of joy that can never, ever be taken away from us. And into our grief, our mess, our poverty, our poop, our catastrophes, comes the good news, the euangelion, that will bring great joy to all people. J.R. Tolkien coined a phrase. He made up a word. It's now in the dictionary. And this was the word, eucatastrophe. Eucatastrophe, E-U, catastrophe. Tolkien says, this is the story of the euangelion of God, the gospel. It begins and ends with joy. It is the greatest eucatastrophe, literally joy catastrophe. And he said the best stories are joy catastrophes. The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, all these stories, they're joy catastrophes. Into the catastrophe of the moment comes the joy of freedom, comes the joy of deliverance. And he said that men's heart are awakened by these stories of eucatastrophe. These joy catastrophes. A place, a moment in time, and a moment in story where joy breaks in to the distress, the disaster, the destruction, where joy overwhelms catastrophe. Where joy overwhelms your catastrophe. Have you ever noticed that in some of the most difficult times of life, joy seems commingled in the mix of it and you find it? It ought not to be there, but it's there. Within the moment of that catastrophe is an opportunity for joy that you've never seen before. Into the catastrophe, this is what Tolkien said, into the catastrophe of human history, Christ is joy birthed for us. And then later on, he says in the story, into the catastrophe of the cross, is joy reborn through resurrection. These are the greatest eucatastrophes of history. Into all the mess of mankind comes this Christ child. Into the catastrophe of human history comes the joy news of God. Into the catastrophe of the cross comes the joy news of the resurrection. That's what Christmas is all about. What a story. What a story. I heard recently from a TED Talk that the definition of a story, it's data with soul. If this story is just data to you today, you have not encountered the Christ child. But if this story has become data with soul, that imparts life. It's a gift to be personally experienced. And my hope for you is that you have fully experienced it. And if you haven't, we want to help you experience fully this euangelion, this wonderful treat that God has prepared, this joy news. Because into the catastrophe of your life, God wants to bring joy. Not a feeling, but a favorable lean towards you. That's what he wants. But he also wants those of us who have experienced this wonderful joy news to become the agents of this joy news, to share it with all men and women. Because it says in Luke, according to this Luke chapter 2, it says, I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. That is the purpose for which this news comes into human history. The good news has brought great joy to all people. all of us into the catastrophe of our lives, into the catastrophe of the financial situation of this church, there's an opportunity for the euangelion of God to come. The joy of God intermixed of our in our catastrophes. If there's no catastrophe, the joy will be muted. When there's a massive catastrophe and joy comes, joy's decibel sings beyond the decibel of any catastrophe known to man. That is the good news of Christmas. That's the joy news. I'm sorry, I probably need to be more excited. And for those of you who are deeply offended by my word, use of the word, S word, I apologize. But actually, I don't. Because you know what? Sometimes life is just that. There's stuff in it. It's full of poop. But God comes and leans towards us. There's two things that I'd like to just finish with. One is, I prepared a couple of things for you this week if you're interested. What I've created is a couple of object lessons or experiences that you might want to try either as individuals or as a family. And I've entitled this, Getting a Hold of Joy. So we can hand it out to everybody, like everybody's going to take it. Or what I'm just going to do is leave them here. And if you want one and you're going to use it, please pick it up. If not, that's okay. But they're just little exercises designed for you to try to deepen this sense of joy in your life. Here's what I'd like to say as we finish. I need a drink of water. Have I told you how much affection I have for you guys? You guys are awesome, and we really love you guys. And also, I wanted to point this out earlier, I'll point it out now. And I, you know, there's lots of people who serve here, and we can't point at everybody. But, you know, recently I've gotten involved in some of the sound stuff, try to help out, because there's stuff that has to be done in this barn. And, you know, there's people who come at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning and start practicing, and people who come for hours and hours on Wednesday nights to create a worship experience for you guys so that your hearts can be connected to God. And what a wonderful gift they are, but just the sacrifice of time and energy that they make. And I just want to acknowledge that and thank them for that. When we come in and we walk in at 11 after 10 or whenever we get here, there's a lot of hard work that goes into preparing this barn so that God can favorably lean towards you in worship. Right? And I just want to say that. It's awesome. I expect a coffee for that, Chris. So here's just how I want to end today. 19 minutes and 56 seconds. It's pretty good. I don't normally speak from full notes, but today, for some reason, I decided to write myself full notes. I don't normally do that, but I just felt it would be appropriate. There's three things I want to encourage you about. One, if you haven't fully experienced the birth and rebirth of Christ for you, it would be my prayer that you would experience that. Into the catastrophe and the mess and the poop of your life would come the joy news. And it's not just the birth of Christ, but it's also the rebirth of Christ. It's that full package. And so if you haven't experienced that, we would just invite you to find somebody that you know or somebody at the front after and ask them, what is that? What does that joy news look like if it really encountered my life? Because that would be our privilege. Second of all, what promises of God are yet fulfilled or unbirthed in your life? Some of you, God has given you a promise of joy, of something, and you haven't seen it. You've been pregnant with this thing for 40 years, and it's getting difficult. You're wondering if it's ever going to come forth. And we would like to pray for you this morning if that's you. If you have an idea, if you have a vision, if you have a sense of destiny, if you have a sense of something that God's put in you, and it's not birthing out the... Go in the wrong way there. If it's not being birthed, we need to get that thing birthed. We need to be like a midwife for you and help you get that birthed. And so if that's you this morning, please come and let us pray for you. Let us lay hands on you and ask that the thing that God has impregnated in you will be fully realized. Because that's important, because whatever promise that God has put in you, if it doesn't get birthed, there's something missing. So that's my second thing. And lastly, what joy news does God want to birth in you? Where's an area where you need more joy to come? Maybe it's in your family. Families have ups and downs. Families have difficulties. Christmas brings out the wonderful best and the horrific worst in our families. I don't know, maybe just mine, not yours. But maybe God wants to come and bring this good news, this joy news, this favorable lean towards you this year. And if there's an area where you lack a sense of joy, and I don't mean a sense of joy as a feeling, I'm talking about where you don't feel like God's close to you, or he hasn't leaned into you. Like there's a whole area of your life you feel like God hasn't even found yet. I don't know if any of you have rooms in your life like that, where it's like you're not even sure if Jesus knows those exist yet. He hasn't come in there. Maybe he wants to bring a favorable lean towards you, even in that room of your life, the room where nobody goes. The room of your own anger, the room that has all the pain in it, the room that's full of all the poop. Some of us are really good at cleaning out our barns and just shoving all the poop in one room. You know, I have a bad nose, I don't smell it. I guarantee you there's other around you, they smell the poop in that room. And maybe today you need a favorable lean of God towards you in the midst of that. And lastly, some of us need to ask God, what joy news does God want to birth through us this week to somebody else? Because we are the herald of this news. We are the angelic host that sings this choir to the world. I love it when angels appear, but they don't appear very often. You are usually the herald of this joy news in your world. And my prayer for you this week is that you would figure out how to trumpet this joy news, this favorable lean of God towards people. And I'm going to ask you to do something. This week, while you're out encountering the world in your business on the streets, I don't care what it is, I want you to ask this question if you don't mind. God, do you want me to lean towards this person with your joy news? Do you want me to lean towards this person with your joy news? Do you want me to press into them with your joy news? Because that's how they're going to encounter it. Those are the things I want to encourage you about. We're just going to end quite simply. If you're on the ministry team here and you want to come up to the front, that's great. If you would like to get prayer from anybody today, I would just suggest you get it from somebody you really know well next to you. Don't get prayer necessarily from someone you don't know at all. That could go weird and wonderful. Let's be honest, because people got poop in their lives. True? True. So, just be with the people you already know their poop. Doesn't mean they don't have poop, they just, you know it. Right? Hey, listen, this for fun. If you have poop and you know it, clap your hands. See? I told you. That's right. This is the good news! You can have poop in your lives. You can smell like you just came out of the barn and God leans towards you. That's the gospel. That's Christmas. And that's what delights me. If you want prayer from some people up here who have a wonderful passion to pray for you, they would love to do that. Let's just stand together.